Romans chapter 15, if you will. And Romans 15 and verse, I'll tell you right now, verse 30 particularly, Paul says this, "Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ, and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God." Strive together with me in prayers to God for me. And then I'll just read the rest. "That I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen." But particularly verse 30, and my thoughts on this really connected with what I shared with you last week about the importance of praying for one another. And I wanted to add to that, especially this idea of what Paul is saying here. "Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayer to God for me." When we think about this, prayer, as I mentioned last Wednesday, is really truly one of our greatest weapons as Christians living in this dark world, okay? Prayer is a weapon that God has given to us, which is unstoppable. It's unstoppable. And because prayer is a weapon that's unstoppable, it's really important for us to understand how we need to pray and what true prayer is, right? One of the things I was thinking about is that we often talk about the Declaration of Independence. But prayer is a declaration of dependence. That's really what it is, isn't it? It's a declaration that we are utterly dependent upon God. And here's a wonderful promise that the Scripture puts before us in many wonderful ways. But there's one particular verse I'm thinking about, and it's this. Isaiah 49, verse 23. "Then you will know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed who wait for me." So when I say that prayer is an unstoppable weapon, I mean that those who wait upon God will not be put to shame. They will not be put to shame. And that's really important for us to understand, is that God always answers prayer. Now, we may not always like the answer he gives us, right? But he always answers prayer. And we may not like the way he answers the prayer, but he is always faithful in that regard. And I think it's important for us to understand that prayer is, as I said, this declaration of dependence upon God. And real prayer is rooted, as I think this text beautifully shows us. It is rooted in our fellowship with Christ. Through Christ, he is the only one by which we come to God. But what this text shows us is it's rooted in love. Okay, that is the fertile soil. That is the natural soil of prayer. It is rooted in love. It is real, true love. Love for God and love for the brethren. When we pray, we are declaring we depend upon God, and we are declaring that we love God. And when we pray for one another, out of that love and dependence upon God flows a love for one another, a genuine, sincere love. And so real prayer is born of love, which means, according to what Paul is saying here in Romans 12, verse 30, prayer is born of the Spirit. Listen to this. Paul says this, "Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the love of the Spirit." Through the love of the Spirit. And when you think about what marks out Christians of the new covenant, is, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, by the love you have for one another. And I connecting that with what the New Testament says about the Spirit and what Paul is saying here, this is really Jesus speaking about the presence of the Holy Spirit, Spirit of God's love in our hearts, that we love one another genuinely and sincerely because we love God genuinely and sincerely. And so this is that love of what Paul says in Romans chapter 12, let love be without hypocrisy. This is true love. It emanates from the Spirit of God. Love without hypocrisy is expressed in this vital avenue of prayer. You can pray for someone. And don't you find it amazing that when you pray for your enemies, remember our Lord Jesus said, pray for those who persecute you. Pray for them who use you spitefully. What happens when you pray for them? God gives you a love for them. God gives you a pity for them. God softens your heart and you desire God to work for these people, right? Or to change their lives, or you desire God to show mercy. Think about our Lord Jesus Christ. Think about the expression of his prayer on the cross as an expression of pure love. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Okay, so it's important for us to see that. It comes only through Jesus, but it is brought to God through the Spirit of love. I mean, the Spirit pours that love out in our hearts and sheds abroad that love in our hearts. So prayer is this declaration of independence upon God. Prayer is true, it's a true expression of love to God and an expression of love and service to our brethren. And I was thinking about this for a moment, beloved, and I thought to myself, I think it's almost like a given answer for most Christians. If you were to ask them, how do you find prayer? Most Christians would say that they struggle with prayer. And I was thinking about this. We find it hard to pray, I believe, because we do not walk as we ought in the love of God. We do not walk as we ought in the love of God. Jude 21 says this, but you, beloved, building yourselves up upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ and to eternal life. And really, I do believe that our prayer meetings are difficult most of the time because there's such a lack of love. There really is a lack of love. And I think if we were honest and reflective of our own lives, we would be ashamed to say it, but it's true. You see, real prayer is selfless. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't pray for self. What it does mean is that it issues from a heart that loves God, and because it loves God, it loves its fellow man. It loves its neighbor. And Paul is teaching or explaining that prayer, true prayer, the prayer that goes through the Son and that is produced, that is brought about as we are in fellowship with God through His Spirit. This is the true prayer that when we come together and we pray for one another, we pray for these needs. This is the true prayer, I believe, that honors God and God meets and God blesses. And I'm saying all of that, beloved, because again, it just dawned on me. Simple truths I understand, but truths that need to be placed before us. Prayer is the result. It's the result of fellowship with God. It's the result of spending time with God. If we're not spending time with God privately, if we're not seeking His face, if we're not desiring His fellowship, then it really our prayers are going to be hollow. They're going to be generic. Galatians 5:22 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, fruitfulness. And again, it just comes home to me how often we don't realize how much prayer is an expression of the fruit of the Spirit, of the love of the Spirit in our lives. When we really pray to God and pray for one another, we are declaring our love in the Spirit and we are bearing witness of our fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Paul says this, he says in Philippians 2 verse 2, therefore if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love and being of one accord. And beloved, I understand that our hearts are often cold. And I agree with what the Puritans said when they said, you pray until you pray. I think there's wisdom to that. But I do believe that just to recognize that the reason why we struggle so much to pray is because there is a lack of love in our hearts. And to really ask God to help us, to ask God to give us a tender heart, to ask God to truly give us a heart to love Him and to love His people. The important thing that Jude tells us is that we are to keep ourselves in the love of God. How do we keep ourselves in the love of God? Well, we seek God's face every day. We call upon Him. We ask, we seek, we knock. We keep coming together. We keep praying. We don't stop. We walk in the light as He is in the light, and we have fellowship with one another. We see where the issues are and we bring them to the Lord and we confess them to the Lord. I think that's really important. But I want you to notice something else here. Paul implores them, and again, this speaks to the nature of prayer that is marked by love, is that there is a striving together. Paul is encouraging them. He says, strive together with me in prayer. And another aspect of this kind of prayer is that it is a warfare kind of prayer. It's not a dithering kind of prayer. It's not the kind of prayer that you could put a recording of people's prayers and just replay it every Wednesday. I mean, every Wednesday. People just keep praying these generic prayers, you know, and pray for on this and on. And I'm not against praying for our needs, for sure. But where is the deep calling to deep? Where is the heart crying out to God? Where is the pleading of God? Paul is praying. He's in a crisis situation. He's about to go to the Jews. He needs his brothers to link arms with him. And he wants them to get into the fight with him in prayer. So this is an agonizing prayer. This is, you strive together with me in prayer. I want you to listen to one example of this kind of prayer from Epaphras in Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. He says this, Paul writes this about Epaphras. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you always, laboring fervently for you in prayer, that you may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. Now think about what I've just read there. I had to ask myself as I read that text, do we know what it is to pray like that? To agonize, to strive, to passionately lay hold of God through Jesus our Lord in the love or through the love of the Spirit? Do we know that? And then my next question is, why don't we know that? And why does it not bother us that we are not praying like that? What does that tell us about us, ourselves? Why are we so content with mediocrity? We're so distracted. We're so content with the meager droppings, the little leftovers, when we should be hungering and thirsting for more of God and praying for the perfection of God in the lives of God's people. Laying hold of God and not letting go of Him. And you know what, beloved? I thought about the world we're living in. I thought about what my brother mentioned early on about the politics. I mean, the wickedness that is going on is just, it's not surprising. But what is surprising is how many people are quite content to just, oh well, you know, we've got two parties now that embrace abortion. We've got two parties that now have embraced a same-sex idea. I mean, these things are utter wickedness. They're wicked. And this should grieve us to the core. This should cause us to be laying hold of the throne of God. The kind of paganism and nonsense that's going on. The kind of evil that is so prolific. And you've got to realize we are in the state we're in because of the state of the church. Again, I think of what Epaphras was like. He prayed fervently. Where are the prayer warriors? Why are we not laying hold of God? Why are we not jealous for the glory of God? Oh God, have mercy on us. Stir our hearts. Let it be the deep cries out to deep again that we would lay hold of you and not let you go. Has God not said He would do it, friends? Oh, that my people would lay hold of me, that I would rend the heavens and come down. But again, the reason we are where we are is because we are not in the love of God the way we should be. And it's got to start with you and it's got to start with me. And so let's pray that God would meet us and help us as we seek His face in prayer. Amen. Richard, would you start for us, please, brother?